Staying Healthy by Rasmus Alsaker. Chapter 1. Preliminary Considerations. Writings on hygiene and health have been accessible for centuries, but never before have books and magazines on these subjects been as numerous as they are today. Most of the information is so general, vague, and indefinite that only a few have the time and patience to read the thousands of pages necessary to learn what to do to keep well. The truth is to be found in the archives of medicine, in writings covering a period of over 30 centuries, but it is rather difficult to find the grains of truth. Health is the most valuable of all possessions, for with health one can attain anything else within reason. A few of the great people of the world have been sickly, but it takes men and women sound in body and mind to do the important work. Healthy men and women are a nation's most valuable asset. It is natural to be healthy, but we have wandered so far astray that disease is the rule and good health the exception. Of course, most people are well enough to attend to their work, but nearly all are suffering from some ill, mental or physical, acute or chronic, which deprives them of a part of their power. The average individual is of less value to himself, to his family, and to society than he could be. His bad habits, of which he is often not aware, have brought weakness and disease upon him. These conditions prevent him from doing his best mentally and physically. This abnormal condition has a bad effect upon his descendants, who may not be born with any special defects, but they have less resistance at birth than is their due, and consequently fall prey to disease very easily. This state of impaired resistance has been passed on from generation to generation, and we of today are passing it on as a heritage to our children. About 280,000 babies under the age of 1 year die annually in the United States. The average lifetime is only a little more than 40 years. It should be at least 100 years. This is a very conservative statement, for many live to be considerably older, and it is within the power of each individual to prolong his life beyond what is now considered old age. Under favorable conditions, people should live in comfort and health to the age of 100 years or more, useful and in full possession of their faculties. Barring accidents, which should be less numerous when people fully realize that unreasonable haste and speed are wasteful, and that life is more valuable than accumulated wealth, human life could and should be a certainty. There should be no sudden deaths resulting from the popular diseases of today. In fact, pneumonia, typhoid fever, tuberculosis, cancer, and various other ills that are fatal to the vast majority of the race should and could be abolished. This may sound idealistic, but though such results are not probable in the near future, they are possible. All civilized nations of which we have record, except the Chinese, have decayed after growing and flourishing a few centuries, usually about 1,000 years or less. Many reasons are given for the decline and fall of nations. Rome especially furnishes food for much thought. However, look into the history of each known nation that has risen to prominence, glory, and power, and you will find that so long as they kept in close contact with the soil, they flourished. With the advance of civilization, the peoples changed their mode of life from simplicity to luxuriousness and complexity. Thus individuals decay, and in the end there is enough individual decay to result in national degeneration. When this process has advanced far enough, these people are unable to hold their own. In the severe competition of nations, the strain is too great, and they perish. There is a point of refinement beyond which people cannot go and survive. From luxury, nations are plunged into hardship. Then their renewed contact with the soil gradually causes their regeneration, if they have enough vitality left to rise again. Such is the history of the Italians. Many others, like the once great Egyptians, whose civilization was very far advanced, and who became so dissolute that a virtuous woman was a curiosity, have been unable to recover, even after a lapse of many centuries. The degenerated nations are like diseased individuals. Some have gone so far on the road to ruin that they are doomed to die. Others can slowly regain their health by mending their ways. Nations, like individuals, generally do better in moderate circumstances than in opulence. Nearly all can stand poverty, but only the exceptional individual or nation can bear up under riches. Nature demands of us that we exercise both body and mind. Civilization is not inimical to health and long life. In fact, the contrary is true, for as the people advance, they learn to master the forces of nature, and with these forces under control, they are able to lead better, healthier lives. But if they become too soft and luxurious, there is decay of moral and physical fiber, and in the end, the nation must fall, for its individual units are unworthy of survival in a world which requires an admixture of brain and brawn. Civilization is favorable to long life so long as the people are moderate and live simply. But when it degenerates to sensuous softness, individual and racial deterioration ensue. Among savages, the infant mortality is very great, but such ills as cancer, tuberculosis, smallpox, and Bright's disease are rare. These are luxuries which are generally introduced with civilization. Close housing, too generous supply.